Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. If you have allergies, bad odors, or damp smells, you need the Thunderstorm. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code Howie10 to save $10 plus free shipping. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith. The last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. It's the Grace Curley Show, live from the Aviva Trattoria Studios. The new Aviva is opening in Malden on Wednesday, June 16th. Visit avivatrattoria.com/Malden. Now, here's Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. You can always call in and weigh in at 844-500-4242. So we talked a lot about the G7, and I just was informed by Howie Carr that I didn't play a cut of Joe Biden being asked about the White House cat, but I don't want to play that cut because that's for journalism in the news, and that's not till later. Right now, what we want to do is bring on our next guest. Chris Bedford is from The Federalist. He also, Chris, you've got some new YouTube series out, a lot of video happening at The Federalist right now. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. I started a new YouTube series called The Culture War. We're releasing an episode every week. The next one will be out later today. Tackling not only just some of the bigger issues that we're dealing with and some of the huge problems in our culture, but trying to come up with some solutions on how to handle it, not just complaining about everything that's going wrong around us.
Yeah, and that is something I notice with people is that, especially people who consume conservative talk radio, is they want tools on how to make things better and not just, you know, wallowing in despair. Chris, I want to talk about your latest piece in The Federalist. It's titled, "The Media Didn't Get It Wrong on Lafayette Park. They lied to America and they're still lying." Now, this is a theme we've seen over and over again. Kind of break down for people exactly why you're not buying this idea anymore that they're just getting it wrong every time.
They are all witnesses to what was happening here in Washington, D.C. over the last couple of years, over the Trump administration specifically, with the riots, and particularly over last summer with all of the race riots that we saw and the chaos. Now, we have offices downtown. I used to work at the Daily Caller downtown. I know those people. I know the bartenders. I was a bartender for 10 years. I know the people who work the doors. I know the guys who work at the hotels. And I know the folks who are down there all the time, whether they're working in the White House or working in the private sector. And when you walked down there in downtown Washington, you smelled obvious drug use. You saw people occasionally being threatened. You saw spray paint and broken windows and boarded up windows and entire autonomous zones where rioters had lit fire to churches, where they pulled down statues and all that was left was a spray painted pedestal covered in curse words. And these reporters who were telling us every day that these are peaceful protesters. This is just a peaceful protest. In order to get to the White House, to get onto the cameras, they had to walk through the same thing that I walked through, which just proved to me that, well, maybe people in New York or maybe people in San Francisco might not have known what was happening in Washington, D.C. These reporters were walking through those camps, looking at the elderly people who had to be escorted into the hotel because the peaceful protesters might kill them or rob them. They walked through it. So when they said, "Whoops, we got it wrong. Look at this IG report. It turns out Donald Trump didn't actually gas these peaceful protesters. It was violent protesters, and that decision was made earlier to clear the park after they had already lit a church on fire, after they were trying to tear a statue down." When they said, "Whoops, our bad. How could we have known any better?" I knew that they were explicitly lying because they saw the same pain that I did, and they had to walk by these beautiful buildings and these young and old men, a lot of immigrant men, black men who were sitting there every day trying to clean the garbage and the spray paint off of their buildings and their shops, and they ignored it.
Yeah, and they ignore so much. I mean, when it doesn't fit their narrative, they'll ignore Antifa. They'll ignore, you know, the president's cognitive decline. They had no problem bringing on therapists and psychoanalyzing Donald Trump when they thought he couldn't drink water properly. But they don't want to go near the fact that Biden is clearly struggling on the world stage. And I wanted to bring up, you specifically talk about Lafayette Park, how it wasn't meant as a photo shoot. The IG report made that explicitly clear. And still, Jim Acosta and the like don't admit it. I mean, Joe Scarborough, they're in complete denial. But you brought up something I didn't notice. You specifically call out Politico Playbook, because that day, that was the biggest story, was that their fake news had been debunked. The debunkers had been debunked. And you mentioned that what they decided to run with on Politico in their newsletter, the must-read of the day, was something totally different and something that actually had to do with Donald Trump.
Now, if you have the misfortune of having to read Politico Playbook every day, it is not good for the heart or the brain. It is somehow the most self-obsessed, one of the most self-obsessed DC newsletters out there. But a lot of people do get their news from it, or at least used to. What they thought was the most important story that day, the day that it came out that we'd been lied to for a year, just like it came out the same thing about Officer Sicknick, or it came out about Russian collusion, just constant lies. They thought that the most important aspect was that this profile on Bloomberg about the Trump coast and what the former president was doing in his retirement from politics and what he was doing in his private life. And it claimed that he lived in a feedback loop where he was just watching the news that agreed with him, that he was living in some kind of fantasy land, that his supporters were acting like the things that were going on around them weren't happening. Now, having had a lot of my friends who've been down there and dealing with the former president and down at Mar-a-Lago and contacts and sources, that doesn't seem to be the case at all to me. But what was particularly ironic about this whole thing was that right when it came out that the entire media had once again, or the corporate media, had been gaslighting and lying to the American people, their response was, look at Donald Trump. Look at what he does. He lies and he gaslights. He doesn't know what's going on. All you have to do is log on to that horrible service, Twitter, for just a few moments, and you can see how much these reporters go back and forth congratulating each other on how stupid all of them are.
Yeah, no, and when I go on Twitter, I really try to avoid, you mentioned how bad it is for the heart and the brain to read Politico, but what's, I would argue, even worse is the Twitter trending page where they explain to you why certain things are trending. And it could be the worst day for optics-wise for Kamala Harris, which she had over the past couple weeks. And I'll think to myself, well, you know, it's got to be trending. And instead, they'll trend something about Kayleigh McEnany saying that she never lied. They're still obsessed with making the story Donald Trump. Chris, I want to ask you what your takeaway was from the G7. Our poll question of the day is kind of like, what was the worst moment of it? There were so many to choose from. What was your take on the meetings of the minds?
You know, it was just such a disappointing day to be... After a couple of years, for the first time in a long time, of the United States being put first in these meetings and our leaders actually representing us, you sit there and you've actually got a meeting where all everyone wants to talk about is how diplomatic it was, how well everybody seems to get along. But that's not the goal of diplomacy. Diplomacy is just a tactic here. So if you're looking at what the Europeans were able to get out of this meeting with their president, they've got a pipeline of oil from Russia bringing in energy from a country that it's not necessarily always on our side. They got the United States pledging to give them more money for their climate programs. They have more soldiers from the United States coming over to protect them in Europe. And they get to trade more with Iran. They get to work with China. They basically get to do everything that they want to do. And the Biden administration is completely fine with that and thinks that that's somehow a win for America. All they had to do was say nice things and use words like normalcy. And I think it's because a lot of those people in the Biden administration don't really care about what you or I think. They really just care about what the United Nations thinks and what all these international organizations think. And that is who they're representing when they're there, not the American people.
No, and you bring up such a good point, Chris, because if you were in a regular company, you know, a company that actually had to see results and not government, and you met with your boss at the end of the month and they said, you know, show me your progress or, you know, give me some tangibles here that I can figure out how well you're doing. And you just said, well, I have nothing to show you, but I get along with my coworkers really well. And, you know, we have a great time. And, you know, sometimes we go out for drinks after work and we love each other. Your boss would be like, okay, well, what are you guys doing for me? I mean, what does that mean?
We're spending your money and we're spending all your expense accounts and I'm taking your competitors out on your dime. That's exactly what it'd be like telling your boss. And let's see how well that goes, because these folks aren't even interested in representing their company or their country. You walk to the average Department of State or talk to some of these diplomats, they really do think that the goal of United States diplomacy is helping the countries that they're in. They think that they're a charity. Reality, our help should be contingent on our interests. And a lot of people just don't believe that anymore.
All right, now, I might be throwing something at you that you haven't seen, but I'm guessing you have, because I know you have ties to New England, Chris. Have you seen the story about the man who was swallowed by the whale?
Not only have I seen it, but I actually just picked up a copy of Moby Dick from the New Bedford Whaling Museum 2 weeks ago because it had nice pictures, and I thought, maybe I'll be able to finally finish this book with these nice pictures. And to see the man getting picked up and to see the interviews with his sister, read the interviews with his sister Cynthia, and just imagine her sitting there and telling this story. It is so wild and so New England.
It is so wild, and I just... I'm waiting to see if there's a video or if there's anything where we can really pin this down, because now I'm watching some of the stuff on Fox and there's people saying it seems a little bit too crazy to be true. But I don't know. Good luck with Moby Dick, though, because my fiance just finished that book and he hated it. It was painful.
I've been loving it so far.
All right, good. All right, Chris Bedford from The Federalist, thank you so much. I'm going to tweet out your column to all my followers. The media didn't get it wrong on Lafayette Park. They lied to America, and they're still lying. It is so true. They're going to keep lying to us, too, until their ratings hit zero, which they're close. I mean, give them a week or two. But until, you know, as long as they're on the air, as long as they're still working for Politico and for all these left-wing rags, they're going to keep lying to you. I have no doubt about it. Chris Bedford, thank you very much. Guys, when we get back, we'll take your calls on all of this, 844-500-4242. I do think I want to talk about the whale stuff a little bit. I mean, it's just the wackiest story I've ever heard. I was watching the guy talk about it, and I was just thinking Mark Wahlberg is somewhere looking at his Twitter feed going, oh, I got my next movie. You know, I'm putting this together. He's dusting off the Boston accent. He's getting ready to wow the crowds. And I'm curious if people, I don't want to say if you believe him, but I'm curious what people think about this. 844-500-4242. I've had my fair share of free lunches during my time at the Howie Carr Radio Network, so I can say this with confidence. Nothing beats Aviva Trattoria. I love Aviva. I'm actually going to an Aviva tomorrow. Very excited about that. Since the start of my show in January, Aviva Trattoria has catered a free lunch every other Friday here at the studio. And damn, they do an incredible job. I mean, the calamari, the sandwiches. Jared's a huge fan of the pizza.
Love the farmhouse pizza. Love the shrimp scampi pizza. They have a margarita pizza. There's a chicken pesto pizza. It is my go-to pizza. And don't sleep on the risotto either. The short rib risotto and the seafood risotto are phenomenal.
That's when we're feeling a little bit fancy. But I want to throw this in here. Jared's not just someone who just eats any pizza. Like, the first time I met him, we had a whole conversation about, you know, specific pizza styles, crust. He's picky, okay? And it lives up to his standards. That's how good this pizza is. All their food there is delicious. They always bring all of our favorites. The homemade chips, I'm a big fan of that. If you love a nice salty chip, this is the place for you. And we have a new way we're doing this, okay? Because we want everyone to get involved. We want everyone to use our text line, 63566. Start your text with the word Curly, C-U-R-L-E-Y, and then you're officially entered. Now, all you have to do is listen every Thursday for Trattoria Trivia. And that's when I throw out a question, you guys answer it. And it's a really easy way and fun way to win a free Aviva lunch. I'll be selecting a winner this Thursday, and the food is always great. It steals the show from me, which is totally fine because I love it too. They have convenient locations in Marlboro, Maynard, Wrentham, Westward, and their new location in Malden is opening Wednesday, June 16th, which I believe is this Wednesday. Takeout is available too. To enter to win the Aviva VIP lunch, tune into the Grace Curley Show every Thursday at 1 p.m. for Trattoria Trivia, but you should be tuning in at all times because you can't miss anything, including the whale's tail coming up next. We'll be right back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show.
She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
All right. Now, let me start off. I want to be very clear before I get into this story and get into any sort of trouble. I fully believe the story of the man who says he was swallowed by a humpback whale, and I'm giving him the opportunity to call in because there are people who don't believe him. There are people, you know, I've seen some stories coming out, people questioning this. Now, Michael Packard is also saying that he thinks Matt Damon should play him in a movie, The Lobster Diver Who Was Gulped by the Humpback. If you guys have any ideas of what that movie could be titled, I'm not as clever as the callers, so feel free to text that in to 63566. But this is what Michael Packard is saying. And he's 56 years old. He's a Cape Cod lobsterman. And now this is what the New York Post writes. So I have a feeling they are suspicious of this story as well. The Cape Cod lobsterman who claims he survived nearly being swallowed by a whale says he could see the Good Will Hunting star and fellow Massachusetts native portraying him in a potential Netflix movie about his harrowing tale. Couple things. One, that is a little bit premature. This happened like 2 days ago. He's barely out of the whale yet, and he's already talking about who should play him in the movie. But two, I just want to say that if Michael Packard wants to call in and tell me, listen, you got this all wrong, he is more than welcome to. 844-500-4242. We'll give him a whole segment if he wants to call in. I was curious, though, when people started questioning this, because when I heard the story, a lot of people did say there was a witness, and someone just texted in about this and said, Grace, there was a witness to it. Who was the witness? You know? And nowadays, there's video of everything. Do we have a video of it? But let's hear from Michael. This is his interview he did right afterwards. This is the man who was swallowed, allegedly, by the humpback whale.
Felt this truck hit me, and everything just went dark, and I could just feel just hard stuff all around me, like, and I just thought, did I just get eaten by a white shark? And then I said, no, I don't feel any teeth. And I said, oh my God, I'm in the mouth of a whale with his mouth shut. My regulator came out of my mouth, and I was like, oh my God, I better get that regulator. And I stuck it back in my mouth, and he's swimming, and I could just be in his mouth, and he's swimming, and I'm like, this is how you're going to go, Michael. This is how you're going to die, in the mouth of a whale.
The last line was my first tip-off that this was a very dramatic story and that people might question it. Again, I'm not saying I question it. The people might question it. Wayne, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Wayne.
Hey, Grace. I was skeptical at first, too. But if you look at a couple of the variables, I mean, he does. Okay, so maybe he's not, an MD with eloquent speaking capabilities and all that. But if you go, I'm on a bunch of Facebook pages down the Cape, and a lot of the people in P-Town seem to know him, to chime in, establishing or reaffirming credibility. And then I put that on there the first day, like, I don't know if this is real. And then someone responded that he knows X, Y, and Z. So it doesn't seem like a Jesse Smollett thing. I think it's real. He just didn't describe it, you know, the way that someone else might.
No, Wayne, I have no problem with the way he described it. If anything, it was so cinematic the way he described it. But I have always wondered that. I know this is going to sound so crazy, and honestly, we might have to carry this into the next segment, because I have always wondered if you get swallowed by a whale, if you could survive inside the whale. Because they don't eat things. You know, they eat things, but
they don't
bite down on them. So I always wondered, like, well, how... But I was always told by Google when I would research it. I know you guys are like, what is she spending her time Googling? I was always told it wasn't possible, that you wouldn't survive, or that you wouldn't even get eaten or swallowed up or whatever. But based off my logic, it's very possible. Maybe we'll keep this going. Thanks for the call, Wayne. If anyone else, you know, we'll go to journalism in the news unless you guys want to stick to the whale. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
If you guys haven't heard about this story, it's national at this point. A Cape Cod lobsterman claims he survived nearly being swallowed by a whale. And it happened, I think, in Wellfleet. No, yeah, the coast of Provincetown, Mass. And his name is Michael Packard. He's 56 years old. He's a lobster diver. I want to, again, invite him on the show because, of course, we want him to be able to share his side of this. He's getting a lot of criticism, a lot of skepticism. 844-500-4242. In fact, in the New York Post story, it says some experts told the Post that the story sounds fishy given Packard's apparent lack of more serious injuries, including hearing loss from the sudden change in water pressure when the whale reportedly took him down 45 feet in seconds. But Packard repeated on Reddit that he was lodged in the baby whale's mouth for what he estimated to be about 30 to 40 seconds. When I first saw the interview, I believed it just because he seems like like the other caller said, a normal guy. You know, he's got friends down the Cape who say he's very reliable. So I don't want to throw this out there like I'm criticizing him or I think it's fake. But there does seem to be Some questions. Eleanor, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Eleanor.
Yeah, hi. My name is Eleanor Driggs. I'm 80 years old, and I've read a billion things. And I had read a story off the Pacific coast of a whaling ship. And I don't know if it was American. I don't think so. But they had pulled up a whale and humpback whale to kill. And they heard this barking sound, and they thought, what in the world? So when they opened the whale, it was a collie dog, a full-size collie dog that was up in the upper sinuses of the whale. She had worked her way up in there. She was near the blowhole. That's
really?
How they could hear her.
A beautiful dog.
Yes,
a talented dog.
Just the weird things that happen. Now, a baleen whale, a humpback whale does not have teeth. It has these long black strips of a bone-like structure called baleen. And yes, if you can avoid being crushed by that as the whale tries to swallow, the hairs filter out all the little things that they like to eat, I guess, and they can vomit out stuff they don't like. So I would imagine swallowing a man in a rubber suit would, especially if the whale was not mature, the whale would spit him out if she could get him out. And the man was swimming in there. So, yeah, I think it is plausible. And whales do dive. And if they're under distress, they do dive along with their mother, and they can cover a lot of ground fast, or water, as you might speak. Now, my second husband was Eskimo, and they were whale hunters. And they talked about many strange things that would show up in a whale.
No, wait, hold on, Eleanor. I'm not as knowledgeable on whales as you are, so I have to take this one step at a time. But I just want to give people a little recap here. This man, Michael Packard, says he was swallowed by a humpback whale. And it spit him out. He said, you know, he woke up to the foam, the white sea around him. Not woke up, because he was awake the whole time, but it happened within 30 to 45 seconds. And he also, there's reports here that there was a witness. And right now, when you have these networks questioning this story, and the New York Post, it seems, the way they're writing, you know, allegedly claims he was swallowed by a whale. It seems like, Jared, he needs that witness.
Yeah, now can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Or can I get a witness? Yeah!
I'll take calls from Michael himself, from the witness. I thought it was an amazing story. I was so blown away by it, and I was so happy that it had a good ending, you know, that he survived this and didn't just get swallowed by the whale and die. So I'm not discrediting the story if Michael wants to call in. Mark, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Thank you for the call, Eleanor. A lot of information about whales there. Go ahead, Mark. You're next with Grace.
Hi, Grace. Love your show.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's okay. Just for what it's worth, my wife and I were on the Cape this weekend, and we heard about this story at lunchtime the day it happened through word of mouth. So it was already running around the rumor mill on the Cape, probably before it hit the news. I'm not a journalist, so I don't know if that's worth much or not, but I give it to you.
Well, now people are saying that they're calling him Jonah because he survived this. And yeah, it makes sense. I mean, I saw it, I think it was Saturday morning I first saw it, and then it just started spreading like wildfire. I saw it on Instagram, on Twitter, on the news, on TV, everywhere. And it is a crazy story. And if there is a witness and this is a true story, then I do think they should make a movie about it. But the thing about those kind of movies, it's like the Sully movie where it's one incident and you know what happens because you saw it happen in real life. And so it's hard to make an entire movie building up to one 30 to 45 second moment where you know what happens at the end. But don't underestimate the power of Mark Wahlberg. He can make movies out of a lot of things, so he might try to do it. Steve, thank you for the call, Mark. Steve, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Steve, are you here to weigh in on the humpback whale?
Are you referring to Steve? Me?
Yes, Steve. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Hi. No, I have a different theory on this whole thing.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so we've seen these videos of these high-speed underwater UFOs that are out there now. I mean, it's pretty obvious they exist. And I think this guy was picked up by one of those and then examined and then spit back out really quickly.
Okay. See, now two worlds are kind of combining here. We've got the conspiracy theories about the UFOs, and Steve, I say that with no disrespect, and we've got the conspiracy theories about the whales. And you know what? I'm going to be honest, Jared. It's only Monday, and I don't know if I'm equipped for this. This might be a you thing. Is that a rumor about UFOs that they are underwater and they're...
The UFOs are everywhere. And if Star Trek IV taught us anything, it's that whales actually are not of this planet. And there's alien probes that come looking for them time to time. So, Steve, maybe onto something.
You know what? If Star Trek taught us anything, it actually didn't teach me anything because I've never seen it. So on that note, and I appreciate the call, Steve, I think it's a good time to switch it up. We've covered the whale, the whale's tail, and I will keep you guys abreast of this story if we get anything else. Once again, Michael, welcome to call in if he wants to clear his name, which is being kind of dragged through the mud right now, I would say. People are really giving this people are skeptical. And nowadays there's video of almost everything. So I hope a video comes out where we can just put this to bed. All right. Now, without further ado, it is time for journalism in the news.
And now, news.
Very fake news.
I see a lot of excellent journalism being done.
Give me the press.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
How can you ask a question when you don't know the press?
He said that journalists make up stories and make up sources.
As a journalist, I don't really like being the story here.
Very fake news.
And many of your compatriots had to change the reporting, and they had to apologize, and they had to correct.
This is a golden age of journalism in a lot of ways.
Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get?
News.
When you really think about that sound cut, Jake Tapper saying this is the golden age of journalism it's powerful because it is an age of something, but it is not, it's not looking good for journalism.
Love your dog.
We love your dog. Speaking of that, I wanted to, this is a quick part of this. We have tons of sound to get to as well. And a ratings update from CNN, which I know it's the way you want to start your week. You know, a little ratings update from Jeff Zucker's clown car is the perfect way to kickstart your Monday. But I found this interesting. All right. This is from Town Hall. Jen Psaki changes her tune on when she'll be gone. So now she's changing up. She had said originally, like, oh, she's going to stay in the job for a year, blah, blah, blah. I don't really find any of that interesting. I'm sure she will leave the job at some point. We'll have someone new gaslighting us, and that's all well and good. But what I did find interesting, or funny, I should say, was this quote. She's talking about Joe Biden, and she says that he often asks her what the reporters are asking about today. And he asked me that because he wants to know how things are being digested out there in the public. To him, it's a prism to the outside world. The reporters and their questions are a prism to the outside world. The reason I want to bring this up is because I want to tell Joe something. If he's out there listening with Michael Packard, the two of them are talking about the whale, having a whale summit. I want him to know something. The questions the reporters are asking Jen Psaki are not a prism to the outside world. None of us care about your chocolate chip ice cream. None of us care about the colors that you're going to paint Air Force One. None of us care about the White House cat or the White House dogs or, you know, how you celebrated Flag Day with your family. None of us care about that. We have actual questions that we care about, but it's not a prism to the outside world. I just want him to know that, because if he thinks that that's what like everyday Americans are thinking, you know, someone gets the pink slip from their job. Oh, yeah, they shut down the pipeline and then they go home and they, honey, how was work today? Well, I lost my job. But more importantly, did you hear that Biden still hasn't secured the White House cat yet? It's just not on top of everyone's mind. And the media, they're doing Joe a disservice, because if he's looking at them thinking, oh, this is what people care about, then they're actually harming him more than anyone. And speaking of that, struggles continue for CNN as New Day. That is a very accurate sound for New Day. They fail to draw 500,000 viewers for the sixth straight week.
Possibly.
CNN's recently revamped morning show, New Day, continues to embarrass the struggling liberal network and has now failed to draw 500,000 viewers for six consecutive weeks while setting a yearly low among viewers in a key age demographic. New Day averaged only 470,000 viewers from May 31st through June 4th, which was actually a slight improvement from the yearly low of 460,000 it averaged the week prior. But both numbers are remarkably low for a major network's flagship morning program, as Fox and Friends averaged 1.14 million viewers. I find this kind of amazing because they kicked Allison Camerota out of that spot and replaced her with Brianna Keeler. And we shouldn't forget what they made Allison Camerota do. They didn't just kick her out of her spot, but she had to interview Tubin last week. She had to interview Jeffrey Tubin, which, by the way, speaking of journalism in the news, Brian Stelter, he writes this like newsletter type thing for CNN where he supposedly covers journalism and media and what's going on in the news. And he didn't mention Tubin. He didn't think that was newsworthy. That the man.
There's no time for potato heads.
But is there time for guys who take their pants off on Zoom? That's my question. I feel like you can make a little bit of time for that in your newsletter. That seems like something you might want to mention. On a more serious note, though, journalism in the news, this is actually an exception to the rule. The reporter who broke the news about Clinton's secret tarmac meeting is dead. Back in June 2016, local ABC 15 reporter Christopher Sine broke the news that former President Bill Clinton secretly met with Attorney General Loretta Lynch on the tarmac at Sky Harbor Airport in Phoenix. The meeting lasted for nearly a half an hour inside of Lynch's official government plane. This man also wrote a book that was published in January 2020 called Secret on the Tarmac. And he has died. He was working and living in Alabama. Very sad. I wanted to offer my condolences because this is an example of someone who is an actual reporter who broke a real story. He's not going to get a Pulitzer Prize because it's not a fake story. So they don't like to give those out unless it's a fake story about Russia or Donald Trump. But this is a local reporter who broke a major story because he actually wanted to be a journalist. And I know there's going to be a lot of talk about the Clintons and this and that, and you know, but I didn't want to overlook the fact that it's very sad that this man is no longer with us, and I wanted to offer my condolences. All right, guys, when we get back, we'll take more of your calls, 844-500-4242. The squad is back in the news, and I'm sure Nancy Pelosi's not thrilled about it. Ilhan Omar is doing what she does best. She's making terrible comparisons and putting Democrats in a really tough spot. We'll be right back with more. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Before we go to the calls, today's poll question is brought to you by CapeLily.com. 100% natural soaps, perfect for sensitive skin, handcrafted in small batches with Cape Cod sea salt. Buy local and save your skin with these moisturizing, chemical-free soaps. That's a really great part of it, is you're buying local. You're not buying from this massive company that probably hates your guts. You're buying from a nice company, a local company in the Cape. And you're going to love the soap. Love your soap. Love your skin. Go to CapeLily.com. That's Lily with two L's. CapeLily.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What was Biden's worst moment at the G7?
Whew.
Dr. Jill corralling him in public, confusing Libya and Syria, saying he'll get in trouble for answering questions, whispering, "Give me a break. 120 days. Need time," to a reporter, or saying he is open to exchanging cyber criminals with Putin.
So many to choose from. I'm going to say...
They really are.
I'm going to say Jill corralling him in public because it was just so strange.
Dr. Jill corralling him in public, still holding the lead at 36%.
All right, now we have a lot planned for the next hour. I do want to talk about the squad, like I just mentioned. We do have a lot of critical race theory. I've written about this before, but parents in the United States are really stepping up and standing up for what they think is right. And we have some amazing clips from heroes, real heroes, you know, not heroes like Brian Stelter and Jim Acosta, but real heroes who are saying enough is enough. But just a quick update here. Happy Flag Day. And happy birthday to Donald J. Trump, former president of the United States. Bill, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead quickly, Bill.
Yes, I will. A couple of questions I have. Was this diver looking catching lobsters diving, or was he recovering lobster gear diving? Because that's usually the scenario. And if he's recovering lobster gear, he's got a boat and hopefully a tender on the boat, a person to pull the gear up, because otherwise he has to get out of the water, take all his stuff off, and then go pull the gear up. So, and if there was a tender, and I thought I heard that he came up feet first.
It says licensed commercial lobster divers literally pluck lobsters off the sandy bottom, and as Packard 56 dove down Friday morning, he saw schools of sand lances and stripers swimming by. The ocean food chain was in full evidence, but about 10 feet from the bottom, Packard suddenly knew what it truly felt like to be part of the chain. Does that answer your question?
So it sounds like he's actually gathering lobsters himself.
Right.
And not getting back lobster gear that he's lost.
So do you believe him, Bill? That's the question.
Well, here's the thing. What's he working from? Is he working from a boat? Did he anchor it himself? Or has he got someone else on the boat?
So many questions, Bill. I feel like I'm under the hot light here. I don't know. If Michael Packard wants to call in and answer these questions, we'd love to have him. All right, when we get back, guys, we have more from the squad, and Biden is finally meeting with Clinton. And we're all waiting on bated breath. Don't go anywhere. On the road again.